From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Thursday, April 11th, 2024, and the Folk Fest is in full swing. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Chish, Hawa, Toyaksuk Nusum, Salamat for joining the conversation. On today's show, featured guest artist of the 49th Alaska Folk Festival and bluegrass legend Lori Lewis is here. We'll hear some live music in studio on the red carpet stage and chat with this inspiring icon. We'll hear from Ken Waldman and friends, who will be fiddling Saturday night on the Folk Fest main stage. Plus, Ken has a new novel. And we'll hear from the Casey Smith Project, a soulful indie rock trio based in Fairbanks, Alaska, who will be playing the Crystal Saloon tonight and the Alaskan this weekend. A full show of music, plus sounds wild and more, coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
The Alaska Folk Festival is here. Listen all week on your public radio station, KRNN Juno. We'll be broadcasting the main stage concerts live on 102.7 and 103.1 FM, or tune in online. Once again, we'll be offering a live video feed on our website. So update your presets and bookmark the links, because we don't want you to miss a minute of the main stage. Find everything you need to watch or listen at ktoo.org/folkfest.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-thru locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
One, two, one, two, three. If I could just hold you, I would be okay. Tell me once again that you're still mine. There was nothing on the highway, there was nothing but the wind, and I couldn't look ahead, I could just see where I've been. From Hartford down to Denver, Duluth to Malibu, I ran every trick, I told every lie just to get on home with you.
man, oh man. Oh, that is amazing. That's Lori Lewis and the Right Hands, who are the featured guest artists for the Alaska Folk Festival. I'm so entranced by the music, I don't even know where I am right now. You are listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That was Grammy-winning artist Lori Lewis. She's a California legend who has a long and distinguished history in bluegrass and Americana music. Lori has twice been named Female Vocalist of the Year by the International Bluegrass Music Association and won Song of the Year for her rendition of the now standard Who Will Watch the Home Place. Lori is an inspiration and a groundbreaker, and it's an honor to welcome Lori and the Right Hands to Studio 2K, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. Gunath Chish, Ha'i Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all in the studio today. Wasa'iati, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. Thank you, Boston. It's just great to be here.
It is so good. Will you also introduce the Right Hands?
I sure will. That great fiddle playing that kicked off that song we did was by none other than Brandon Godman.
Okay.
From the great bluegrass state of Kentucky.
Kentucky, yes.
And from the Carolinas, originally South Carolina, but now North Carolina. On bass, we have the fantastic Hazy Siaco.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. Hazy Siaco. I lived in North Carolina for a while. Yeah. Chapel Hill.
All right.
Nice.
You'll get to hear her singing on the next song. You'll hear all of us singing on the next song.
Nice.
And on the banjo, all the way from, Nashville, Tennessee now, but originally hailing from the great bluegrass state of Connecticut, is none other than George Guthrie.
Awesome. Well, welcome all, George, Hazy, and Brandon, as well as Lori. Thank you so much for coming into the studio today. I just wanted to tell everybody that your Folk Fest schedule, you perform tonight at Centennial Hall. It's the featured set at 8 p.m., and then you will also close out the Alaska Folk Festival on Sunday night at 9 p.m. I hope you knew that.
I do know that. I do know that. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're going to talk a little bit about the workshops that you all are going to be doing, too. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But, Lori, I guess I just want to start at the beginning a little bit, just in terms of, I mean, you have so many, you know, accomplishments now, but how did you first discover music?
I don't know. It was probably when I was in the womb. My dad was a musician, and so I'm sure I heard flute music before I was born. But I don't know. The music that I play, the music that I really, that captured my heart, I discovered when I was about 13 or 14 years old. And that's basically, it's bluegrass. I heard it and fell in love at first sound. And one of the things I did that got me into it was I went to the Berklee Folk Festival, which was a fantastic festival back in the 1960s in Berklee, California, and where I grew up and where I currently live. Although on the schedule it says I'm from Sacramento. I'm not.
Not from Sacramento.
No, I've never lived in Sacramento, although I have eaten a meal there now and again.
I see. Okay. You're from Berklee.
I'm from Berklee. But back to the beginning.
Yeah.
Let's see. I went to the Berklee Folk Festival, and there I got to hear, like, Doc Watson and Gene Ritchie, and the Greenbrier Boys really knocked me out, a bluegrass band that was there.
Yeah.
And around that same time, I also went with my older sister to see the Byrds at the Berklee Community Theater, and the Dillards opened for the Byrds. And I just flipped out. I just wanted to play banjo and play bluegrass.
I was going to ask the question, like, what was the moment of sort of recognition when you knew, not when you just first discovered it, but when you knew that this music was for you? Is it that moment that you just described, do you think?
Possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, possibly. That's definitely it. Yeah, it could be. I could say that and nobody could probably dispute it. So
I guess too, there's also the journey of kind of having a start in it and wanting to do it, but then to actually make it your life's work.
Yes, that took a long, long time.
Yeah, and so when was that moment for you?
Well, when I decided to make music my life's work, I was pretty old. I was 36. And I went into the recording studio to do my first solo album. And I thought it was going to be my only solo album, and that I would just go back to my violin shop where I was working and, just play music on the weekends for fun. And that didn't happen. I just completely fell in love with the process of hearing the songs just come to life and played the way I heard them in my head. Mm. And also the working with other great musicians. I decided that's all I want to do. And I got to take the chance and just say, this is the path.
Yeah, that's
and see
so
where
great.
It takes me.
That is so great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I'm curious about that then. Like, how did you, I know you've done, I want to talk a little bit about teaching and things like that. And you also got into producing.
Mm-hmm.
But like that sort of, how did you first navigate the career side of it for yourself?
Very poorly.
It's hard, right?
It's really, really hard. Yeah. I mean, I didn't have a booking agent or anything. And I was so afraid of talking on the phone. Those days you had to call somebody and do cold calls to festival promoters and things like that. And just,
yeah.
You know, because you couldn't send an email. I mean, this is a long time ago.
I guess I was going to say, how's the music changed? But really, it's also how the technology
has really
changed
a lot.
Yeah.
So I would decide, okay, I want to try and play this festival. So I have to call this guy. And I would sit by my phone for a couple of hours trying to get up the nerve to call. And then I would call, and of course there would be an answering machine, and I would leave a message, and I'd hang up, and I'd go, whew, done for the day.
Right. I did my one thing.
I did my one thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was really, I had a student, a vocal student, I think, that I was working with at the time, and she just had so many ideas about what I should be doing. And I'd say, yeah, I know. It's really hard. I can't. And so finally she just came in one day. She said, I've decided I'm going to be your booking agent. I go, oh, okay. She said, so what do I do? And I said, okay. I knew what to do. I just couldn't personally do it. So I gave her all my contacts, and I said, okay, here's what you do. And just, you know, call them up and do it. And she did, and she was great. And so.
And here you are.
And here I am, exactly.
That's amazing, because it is like you get into it for the art form, but then to make it your life's work or to make it your career, it becomes marketing, and you have to figure out how to get gigs and all that stuff that you have to do.
Yeah.
And some people aren't really for that. Like, it's not for them to try to do that.
It certainly was not in my wheelhouse.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. So how has bluegrass changed over the years?
How has it changed? Well, for one thing, there are a lot more younger people with incredible chops that, you know, come out of music schools and can just play rings around anything. You know, back when I started playing, there were great players, real individualistic players. There are people now that can kind of turn on and off any aspect of that playing you want and have these huge vocabularies. And but I don't think it necessarily makes the music better. It makes it more technically awe-inspiring, possibly.
Mm.
But I don't know. There's stuff. I like the rawness, and I like the passion of the old guys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of miss that. And I miss being able to turn on the radio or something and say, oh, that's, you know, the Osborne Brothers. That's Bill Monroe. That's the Stanley Brothers. That's, you know, and name every band. You know, there's the Seldom Scene. And these days I turn on the radio and I go, who's that?
Hmm.
And maybe it's just because I don't know, I don't follow it well enough. But I feel like there's more of a homogenization of sound.
Hmm. Interesting. It is nice to know that there's young folks who are getting into it. I feel like the folk festival here in Juneau is part of that. It's my favorite thing when Folk Fest rolls around every year and everybody's like, hey, you want to start a band and do Folk Fest? You know, they're like 24 years
so
old or
cool.
whatever. It's like one of the best things about Folk Fest is everybody's like all of a sudden wants to be in a band. And so you get from watching all week, you get people who are doing their first time on stage to, you know, legends like yourself. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to see all of that flowing through the energy of the music, which I just think is fantastic.
You know what? I play with much younger musicians than myself. I'm old enough to be their grandparent, I'm sure. And maybe one of them would like to come up and talk about what they see as changes in bluegrass, because they probably know a lot more than me.
Oh, that would
probably
be
have different
be
ideas.
Great.
One of you all, come on up here to this
Brandon.
Microphone.
Brandon's going to come over. Okay, have a seat there at the mic, Brandon. And we're also going to segue into teaching and workshops, so that'll be perfect for this too. But so, yeah, Brandon, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the music.
I'm from Kentucky, and I grew up on a tobacco farm. And my parents used to go to square dances. My parents and grandparents, so I used to go with them to square dances and fell in love with the fiddle and decided to start playing and never looked back. I've been suffering ever since.
That's funny, but it's kind of in your blood because your parents were doing it and you were from Kentucky, so it's based in you.
It is, yeah. And it's, it's just kind of natural. I mean, a lot of my friends will say, well, gosh, don't you know this artist? And I'm like, who are you talking? I remember when Prince died. Mm. And, I mean, I'm probably going to get hate mail, but I didn't know who Prince was, you know?
Right.
I mean, I'd heard the name, but I remember walking past the City Hall in San Francisco, and they had turned on purple lights, I guess, for that night.
Brandon, I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
That's perfectly fair. It happens all the time. But I didn't know. I grew up under a fiddle rock.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And how has the music changed in your eyes as you've sort of come up?
Well, it's really interesting. I mean, I feel there's been, if you look at all music, I mean, do we have a two-hour program?
I wish.
I feel like we've been through a trend of everything, kind of like Lori was saying, being homogenized and sounding very similar. And the level of playing is just, you know, when the Osborne brothers came along, there was only 10 years of bluegrass that they had to learn. And now if you start playing bluegrass, you've got 60, 70, 80 years of bluegrass that you have to learn to be accountable for. And I remember playing fiddle, people saying you had to, you know everything from Fiddle and Arthur Smith's licks to Howdy Forrester to Paul Warren to Bobby Hicks to Stuart Duncan to Aubrey Haney, now Andy Leftwich, and your generations along, you know.
And Brandon Godman.
Yeah. Yeah, if you really want to ruin your career, learn my licks. But no, you really have to, you're held accountable, much more accountable for learning licks if you want to play in a band. But what's happened is I think people are starting to break away and say, like, I do turn on, like, we play this game where we turn on Sirius XM riding down the road and see how long we can listen before we turn it off. You know, I guess I shouldn't say that out loud, but it's kind of interesting because some days we'll turn it on. It's like, oh, wow, this is all really different now, you know? And I do hear a lot of unique voices popping out. And I think a lot of it is the old guard's kind of letting their guard down and saying, you know, a lot of new music is okay.
Yeah.
And if you have Billy String selling 20,000-30,000 tickets at arenas, something's happening that's really good.
Interesting.
You know?
But you don't know what it is, do
you? Don't know. I think it's just a freedom. Yeah.
It's the freedom.
I really do. I mean, I think people are allowing themselves to play beyond what they're being told to play.
Yeah.
You know, while still, like Billy Strings, being able to get on stage with Del McCurry and Larry Sparks and play their songs,
yeah.
You know?
Wow, that's so great. I do want to mention the workshops that you're all going to be doing. In addition to performing tonight on the main stage and then closing out the Alaska Folk Festival on Sunday night at 9, you're also going to be – are you all teaching workshops?
We are.
Everybody's
yes.
teaching workshops. And I know that, Lori, you're teaching a workshop, and these workshops are free, by the way, which is pretty...
Wait, they are?
Yeah, they're free. they're pretty amazing. Lori is teaching a workshop 10:30 on Saturday called How to Get the Most Out of a Song. I hope you know the titles of these. And that will be at 10:30, which is great, and that's going to be in the Egan Room. And then, Brandon, when do you know when yours is?
Yes, 1:30.
Oh, there it is, 1:30.
Everybody else's is 1:30.
Okay, Bluegrass Fiddle.
No, that's Bluegrass Fiddle.
We're gonna
learn how to, especially if you're a classical player, I'm gonna try to break all of your good habits.
Oh, nice.
And teach you how to
bend the notes
a little bit, make it bluesier.
Well, you got to learn the stuff first and then break the rules, right? That's kind of
exactly
how it works.
Yeah.
And then George is going to be teaching banjo as rhythm instrument, and that will also be at 1:30. These are all at 1:30 on Saturday, and they're going to be in different rooms, so you can check it. And then Hazy's is Doghouse Bass Q&A, and that is Bring Your Questions and Ideas. Let's talk about string choice, string changing, instrument setup and maintenance, all kinds of cool stuff that's going to be happening on the workshops on Saturday. And that's just one other benefit of having great guest artists like yourself come into town, be able to sort of co-mingle with all the people, like I was saying, the people who are just first timing it and sort of getting started and then kind of figuring out their way. And to be able to learn from you all is just what an opportunity. So Gwyneth Cheech for being here and sort of being willing to teach those workshops as well as jam, which I think we should do as we close out today.
Oh, absolutely.
Can I say quickly?
Please.
I've heard about the Alaska Folk Festival for years from people all across the United States, from D.C. to California, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Oh.
Yeah, I have wanted to come here for so many years. Ever since I was first in Juneau, the only time I was ever here in 1979, and then I heard about the Alaska Folk Festival, and I've wanted to come back, and this is the first time.
It's so exciting.
It's
such a pleasure
so
to
exciting.
Have you here. So, and then we're going to hear one more song. What are we going to hear now, Lori?
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to play the song that was the International Bluegrass Song of the Year back in the last century, and... it's a beautiful song written by Kate Long. You mentioned it in my intro that you so graciously did. It's called Who Will Watch the Home Place, and I'm just going to pick up my guitar and in front of the mic.
You get over there in front of the mic. I'm going to tell one more time there. Lori Lewis and the Right Hands are playing tonight at 8 p.m. at the Alaska Folk Festival main stage. They'll also be closing out on Sunday night at 9 p.m. They'll end our lovely week of music here in town. And, of course, for more about Lori Lewis, you can go to lorilewis.com. That's her website. And for the whole Folk Fest schedule, you can go to akfolkfest.org. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon on KTUO. Here's a little more Lori Lewis and the Right Hands.
Leaves are falling and turning in showers of gold as the postman climbs up our long hill. And there's sympathy written all over his face as he hands me a couple more bills. Who will watch the home place? Who will tend my heart's dear space? Who There's a lovely green nook by a clear running stream. It was my place when I was quite small, and its creatures and sounds could soothe my worst pains. But today they don't ease me at all. grandfather's shed, there are hundreds of tools. I know them by feel and by name. And like parts of my body, they've patched this old place. When I move them, they won't feel the same. Now I wander around, touching each blessed thing. The chimney, the table, the trees. And my memories swirl around me like birds on the wing. When I leave here, oh, who will I be?
Who will watch the home place? Who will tend my heart's dear space? Who will fill my empty place when I am gone? Who will fill my empty place when I am gone from
here. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Gwyneth Cheech, for being here. Thank you so much.
It's really been our pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Boston.
Yeah. Up next, Ken Waldman and friends with more live music right here in Studio 2K. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. But first, a little Sounds Wild.
Sounds Wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
On a summer day, a field of fireweed is buzzing with a swarm of bumblebees. Insects are common throughout Alaska in summer, but they disappear in winter. How do they survive Alaska's freezing temperatures for more than half the year? Insects overwinter as adults, pupa, or as eggs. Mosquitoes overwinter as eggs and are some of the first insects to emerge, the eggs hatching in the icy water that forms when the snow first melts in early spring. They spend a couple of months as aquatic larvae before flying into the air as adults. Moths can overwinter as eggs, as caterpillars, or as pupa in a cocoon. Tussock moths may stay in the caterpillar stage for several years, feeding in summers and freezing each winter before finally overwintering in a cocoon and emerging in the spring as a moth. Worker bumblebees die in the fall, but bumblebee queens hibernate. They mate in the fall and emerge in the spring ready to lay eggs that hatch and quickly grow into worker bees. A second brood emerges in summer and includes males and fertile females who are candidates to be next year's queen bumblebee. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Edi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
This month, four lucky people will get the chance to win a pair of tickets to see Michael Franti and Spearhead performing this August 6th in Juneau. K KTOO sustaining members will be automatically entered into the drawing, but everyone else is welcome to participate. Just go to ktoo.org and click on the giveaway link for contest rules and the entry form.
'60s came, the '60s went, our dreams of peace and love were spent. The right attacked, the left had died, the good Samaritan crucified. Jesus said to love your neighbor, but the rich got richer, wouldn't do you no favor. Now, baby, ain't living right. Well, I'll be one of that blinding flash of light.
That is Buddy Tabor, Blinding Flash of Light. The full album came out today online of Blinding Flash of Light. It was released in 1998. Buddy Tabor, of course, a Juno icon and legend of Folk Festival. You can now, the project, the Buddy Tabor project, is trying to get all of Buddy's music up on streaming services to have new people be able to listen to it and have it last long time. So you can listen to Blinding Flash of Light right now on all of the streaming platforms. But now we are going to transition to Ken Waldman, who combines Appalachian-style string band music, original poetry, and Alaska-set storytelling for a performance uniquely his. And he has a couple buddies in the studio with him today. And we're going to hear some of that right now. So let's go ahead. Yeah, let's.
Tom, and Tom Paul start playing one called Fork and Deer. And I got a poem called Old Time Fiddle Lesson. To learn, lock yourself and your fiddle in a room all winter and practice till you play with a twisty, heartfelt, rhythmic punch that approaches trance. Now, fiddling's not technical repetition anyone can master. It's the sound you make once you know in the blood you clog with your fingers while that old devil music dances inside the box.
Ken Waldman and friends.
it's Ken Waldman and the Wild Ones featuring Fiddlin' Tom Paul and Jamie Haskell up from Seattle, Washington.
I love it. Come have a seat over here at this microphone,
sure.
Ken. That was on our what we call our red carpet stage. So that was wonderful.
Yeah, we may get Tom talking too because he's calling
over,
a dance tonight.
Yeah, come over here, Tom. Have a seat. So, Ken, tell us a little bit about you. Remind the folks about you. I gave you a little bit of an intro there. I know that it's like 20 books and 12 CDs. You're back in Alaska and all that kind of stuff.
I moved to Fairbanks in 1985 for graduate school in creative writing, something called an MFA. And I graduated in 1988, and I was not done with being in Alaska, so I moved to Juneau, and I spent a year living in North Douglas. I was, I'd say, caretaking
renting but caretaking Bob Banghart's place in North Douglas. I was there 88, 89, and then I lived again in Juneau from 94 to 98. And between that, I lived in Sitka and Nome. And I'm officially an Anchorage resident, but I'm a rare sighting in state. I travel around combining the poetry storytelling with fiddle tunes.
That's amazing. And you have in here with you Tom Paul and Jamie Haskell, each amazing musicians in their own right. And we'll talk to Tom. You're going to be calling a dance tonight?
Calling a dance tonight, 9 o'clock, with the Outsiders, which is a group from people that are all outside of Juneau.
Okay.
So, and I'll call another dance on Saturday night with a local group. So, yeah, I've been a dance caller in Juneau for about 30 years now and stuff, and play music. And
oh, that's going to be so awesome. Yeah. Are you excited for the Daiquiri Queens that are coming into town?
Yeah,
the dance
yeah,
band?
That's going to be great. The Cajun dance guest artists and yeah. Also T-Claws. Guest caller.
Oh, the guest caller, yeah.
From the East. He was in the West for a while, but it's pretty exciting. He's a nationally known dance caller as well, so it'll be great to kind of share the dance hall with him.
Yeah, I know the Daiquiri Queens are on the show tomorrow, and I think maybe T-Claw's coming with them. I can't remember, but it's what a great weekend it's going to be.
Oh, it's fun, and somebody like me who travels a lot, I had a base for a while around Lafayette, Louisiana, so... like Blake Miller's in the band, Kelly Jones in the band, actually Miriam McCracken. I know her dad from Port Townsend, Washington. You know, it's kind of amazing seeing the people that come through for a festival like this one. Although I have to admit it was easier when I lived here to be at the festival. I flew up from, I was in Seattle yesterday morning and then flew up yesterday and got here. And I'll be around actually through, like we'll talk about, like through some of next week where I'm going to be doing something at Hearthside Books on Tuesday.
Yeah, I was going to get to that just now because I know you have written your first novel. You've been writing a lot. You've written a lot of poetry and you've written other things, but now this is your first novel. It's called Now Entering Alaska Time, and you're going to be making an appearance next Tuesday, April 16th at 6 p.m. at Hearthside Books at the Wharf location.
I just stopped by there, and they're all set for me.
It looks so good. And you're going to be playing some fiddle, and you're going to read and recite, and you're going to sign copies of this new book. Tell us about this new book.
The new book, actually, and maybe, we'll see. I don't think Jamie will be here, but if Tom Paul's around, maybe we'll be playing some twin fiddle there. But the book, even though it's my most recent book, there's a new edition that if the folks were here in the studio, they could see the book right here. It was published... this past fall with a publisher, Ridgeway Press, out of just outside Detroit, Michigan. And there was an edition that came out in 2022 from the country of India. Most recent book, but I started writing this in 1989 in North Douglas at Bob Banghart and Laura Lucas's cabin. And I started there, and it's set... That part was set in Fairbanks. Then I have a part that's set in Juneau, but I wrote that when I was in Sitka and Nome in Seattle. Then when I moved back to Juneau in 1994, I finished this in 1997 in Juneau, and I couldn't find a publisher for 25 years. And then it's so heartening, not only to have a publisher, but having people read it and really respond. It's both my newest book, yet the oldest one with my writing. So it's just a very odd, but my life has been a little odd sometimes, backwards like that.
I love that. That's a really great journey, right? Like, and to be able to have something that you wrote so long ago now come, I mean, it took a long time, but now it's here.
It was in the present when I wrote it, but now it's a period piece. So it's kind of like pre-internet. Like at one point they're talking about like laptops is like this new fancy thing.
But so put your mindset on when you're reading it, right?
Exactly. And there's a part that actually when I do my set on Saturday night, you know, at the festival, I'm going to read a section of this novel, which is actually set at the folk festival. So it's a Juneau, it's in Juneau. But it's set like back again in like the 90s, so it's like the Bergman Hotel and stuff like
that.
It feels like it's, but it's, you know, it's of the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So. That's going to be so cool. And I know you put some of that in your act, like Saturday Night with Ken Waldman. I think originally it was called Ken Waldman and Friends, but now it's like The Wild Ones. We've come up with a name, which I love that. And you're playing 8 p.m. on Saturday night, April 13th, on the main stage. And you'll have your friends with you. Plus, you'll be reciting an excerpt or two from this recent novel, which is, recently published. Let's say that, right? Recently published novel.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, Now Entering Alaska Time?
Yeah, Now Entering Alaska Time, yep. And then we also want to mention before we hear another tune, you have a folk festival workshop on Saturday at noon called So You Want to Go Places with Your Art. Tell us a little bit about that. What are we going to learn?
It's one that I do actually around the country. I just did one this past Saturday in Tracy, California. And the idea being that when I came to Fairbanks, I was turning 30, could barely play the fiddle, and had never written a poem. I'd written fiction, but I'd never written poetry. And I've been a touring artist now for 25, 30 years, going all over the place. And I guess the workshop is, if I can do this, so can you. And what does it take that if you're here in Juneau, and not everybody, obviously, at the festival is from Juneau, but if you did want to go from Juneau to Anchorage or to Seattle, how would you get a gig, or how would you get to play in theaters, or how would you play a festival that's not your hometown festival?
Yeah, absolutely.
How would you go about this? And it's not just for musicians, but it could also be for writers. It could be for visual artists. How would you get, you know, how would you end up getting a gallery show? How would you get representation as an artist?
I love that. We were just talking with Lori Lewis about that, about how she started and how she didn't really want to do that, because it's not for everybody, and you got to learn the business side of, you know, how to be able to jam and get paid for it.
And I have friends here who people would know, Jim and Martha Stay, and I can remember coming here and talking with Buddy Tabor in their place about that same stuff.
Wow,
and
we
were talking about Buddy actually yesterday, and then just so appropriate to have, you know, an excerpt from that, you know.
Yeah, we've been highlighting that Buddy Tabor project on the air because he's such a classical musician in town, and in terms of his music and his impact on all the artists here. So, will you take us out with one more tune?
Sure.
Yeah, that'll be great. It's Ken Waldman and the Wild Ones. They're going to be at the Folk Festival 8 p.m. on Saturday night. And then, of course, Ken's workshop is at noon on Saturday, April 13th, called So You Want to Go Places with Your Art. And if you're interested in his book, Now Entering Alaska Time, he's going to be at Hearthside Books at the Wharf next Tuesday, April 16th at 6 p.m. So here we go again with Ken Waldman's and the Wild Ones.
It's called West Fork Gals, one of the first tunes I think I ever learned.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. For more on Ken, you can go to Ken Waldman, WALDMAN.com, KenWaldman.com. Gwyneth Cheese for coming in today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Up next, The Casey Smith Project rocks the crystal tonight and the Alaskan this weekend. We'll chat with Casey next on Juno Afternoon. Here is the latest single from the Casey Smith Project. It's called Confess My Love. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. That is the Casey Smith Project. That is called Confess My Love. That is the single that just dropped recently. And now in the studio joining me is Casey Smith. And this is Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Chish, ha yi gudi. How's it going, Casey? Thanks so much for coming in. Wasa iati.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So you are billed as a soulful indie rock trio based in Fairbanks, Alaska. You mostly perform original songs that I like this, that are both dreamy and danceable.
Yeah, I definitely, I love, you know, shoegaze and, but you know, you got to look up sometime and you want people to dance. So, you know.
Like, absolutely.
Like both kinds of music. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about you and how you got started in music. You are Casey Smith of the Casey Smith Project.
I am Casey Smith.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
Yeah, so I'm the smallest version of this band. Well, I live in Fairbanks, and I went to UAF there, and yeah, was in some other bands and started a solo project in 2016 and recorded a little EP with my friend called Talk Memory. And recorded it in my house in one of my bedrooms. And played a show on KSUA with Lurie Neufeld. And then I assembled a band to do that and kind of snowballed from there. I've just been playing in various different versions of the band throughout the years and just putting out music pretty steadily as much as we can. And yeah, just
We came back from Hawaii, when our first out-of-state tour over February. So I go there already for, you know, to escape the winter and just try to do some to music while we were there, and just to make it affordable. And it was good. We got to play on the Big Island, and then we went to Oahu. And it's the same configuration that we're here at Folk Fest. It's Eric Barker playing keyboards and Moog bass, and Morgan Huff on the drums, and me.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you did it just happen to work out that y'all were here during Folk Fest, or was that sort of a planned
idea? Yeah, it was just a reason, I guess, to come. We've been, this is the third year we've come here and played different places, and so yeah, we're just, I don't know if we'll come back again, but we're definitely just trying to get our, you know, feet here a little bit and expand beyond Fairbanks, cuz you know, Fairbanks and Anchorage are fairly easy to places to play, and Even that is like, you know, 6-hour drive to Anchorage from Fairbanks, so it's a bit of a jaunt there. But you know, trying to make it reasonable and affordable to come play other places. And
well, I mean, being able to gig like you said in Hawaii, get the gig to pay for the trip, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then of course the cross collaboration that happens during Alaska Folk Fest, and not everybody who's playing is necessarily playing at the Folk Fest, but all the different venues around town are filled with artists and musicians and bands like yourself. And I just think it just brings this week to sort of another level, you know, that just, you can go anywhere at any time basically, and you're going to be hearing music. And do you find yourself like meeting new musicians and figuring out like maybe how you might collaborate at some point?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we synced up with Dude Mountain, so we got to meet them. I, you know, with the internet and everything, you can meet people then. And then I got to actually shake their hands, and we're gonna get to play some shows with them. So that's exciting. And yeah, the Hawaii thing, actually, we're friends with Blackwater Railroad, and they were just here, I guess, recording.
Yeah, they were here.
Tyson's been really amazing and awesome. And yeah, he comes to Fairbanks. We're going to play some shows with him this summer. We have a pretty good lengthy tour lined up to play all over. This is the only one in Juneau, but we're going to be all over the state.
Wow. And so when you're creating music, you do original work, which is cool. How does it come about? Does it start with sort of a melody, or who's writing the lyrics, and then you guys get together and jam and figure out how it goes? Tell us about the process.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I have a studio above my carport that I have. It's just so I can just go up there, and it's, you know, everything's plugged in and ready to go, and that's amazing. It's just space to have, and I've got all the gear and everything I need in there to record and track, you know, and DAW and everything. So otherwise, I just pick up an acoustic guitar in my house when I have a moment, my kids aren't screaming at me, and I try to find some solace, you know, just like a moment to myself, and, you know, record on my phone or in my studio, and then multi-track that and create a pretty good demo these days. And then I get some friends to help me out. I've got some buddies in Anchorage, Derek Hawkes, who works at Frostline Studios, a really good drummer. He plays here as well in Anchorage or in Juneau. And then Scott Joyce, who helps me out and plays bass and keys. And I have a couple studios that I record at in Anchorage. So mostly I just do demos myself and get them, do the majority of the writing myself, and then share it after that.
It must be nice to have it right above your carport because, yeah. I mean, do you ever get the thing where, do you like wake up at like 3 a.m. ever and be like, oh, I got an idea, I got to go to the studio?
Sometimes, not typically, but normally I'll just be working until 3. You know, the kids will go to bed at 8 or whatever, and I'll just be up there. And, you know, if I have a project, I'll just get in the groove and try to finish it up, you know.
Until usually, your partner says, like, come to bed.
No, she's pretty good. I mean, it's usually just me being like, oh, I got to work tomorrow, you know.
Right. That makes sense because it is a thing, right? So it's you're still finding your way to making this, like, the thing, right?
Yeah.
So you're supporting yourself. Obviously, you have children. Yeah. So you have work outside of the group. But, of course, would this be the dream to make this the full-time gig?
You know, I think I'm an engineer, and I love my job, and I can't see myself not being an engineer, but I definitely want to do music as much as I can, and, you know, eventually, you know, if at some point it would be something I would love to do more. I grew up in a household that sang all the time, and I love music, so it's just music is in my blood.
That's cool. I like that. So where can we follow the Casey Smith Project at? How do we get more information?
Yeah. Our website's super simple. It's just caseysmithproject.com. and that's got everything you need from there. But you can go on Spotify. It has our tour dates there. You can go on Bandcamp. They're all at Casey Smith Project. And, yeah, you can find everything, our tour list, and we'll be on. We have Facebook and Instagram.
I love it.
You name it.
Follow the band and go out tonight. Get out to the Crystal tonight at 8 p.m. And tomorrow night, you'll be at the Alaskan at 8 p.m. as well.
That's correct.
So two nights in a row here in Juneau. Get yourself, do you have to get a ticket or is it just you show up into the bar?
I think those are free shows. I think those are free. Come in and buy some beer, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah, that's right? What you do. That's how we get paid.
That's awesome. I love that. Well, let's go out with a little bit more of the Casey Smith Project. Of course, you can find more at caseysmithproject.com. That's C-A-S-E-Y, smithproject.com. This is a little bit of an older tune. Not that old, but it's called Never Gonna Let It Go.
Yeah, it came off the album Red Lights and Whiskey last year.
Oh, last year. Yeah. Okay, yep. So not that old.
Not that old.
Okay, so let's listen to that. Thanks so much for coming in, Casey. Gunnith Chiefs, for being here.
Awesome.
Break a leg tonight on your shows at the Crystal and then tomorrow at the Alaskan. Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
Afternoon on tomorrow's show, the amazing week of live music continues with the featured festival dance band, the Daiquiri Queens, plus California duo Meisner and Smith, and they have an album dropping tomorrow, and the Alaska State Fair fiddle contest winner, Shanti Elder. Juneau Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juneau 104.3 and KAUK Juneau Auk Bay 91.7. You can find the show online at kto.org/JuneauAfternoon. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Thanks, and have a wonderful Alaska Folk Fest evening. You can tune in at 102.7 KRNN, or you can listen live or watch live on ktoo.org/folkfest.